On day 35 of the government shutdown, the FAA has halted some flights at New York's LaGuardia Airport and at the airports in Philadelphia and Newark. It is a staffing problem. Air traffic controllers aren't getting paid, and now they're not coming to work. They missed another paycheck today, along with 800,000 other federal workers.
It's also a day of significant developments in the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of possible Trump campaign collusion with Russia. The FBI arrested longtime Trump political advisor Roger Stone. It was in a raid at dawn at Stone's home in Florida. He was charged today with lying to Congress and obstructing the work of congressional investigators who were examining what he knew about hacked Democratic emails that WikiLeaks released just before the 2016 election. Roger Stone was released on a $250,000 bond today. Let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Domenico Montanaro is NPR's lead politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hey there.
And Enrique Acevedo is a Univision news anchor. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Lisa.
I'm sorry that we don't have a lot to talk about today, but let's press on anyway. The 24-page indictment says that Roger Stone was keeping Trump campaign officials advised of upcoming WikiLeaks releases that were damaging to Hillary Clinton before the 2016 election. Domenico, first, how significant is this indictment?
Well, you know, it's significant in the sense that it's somebody who is very close to President Trump, somebody who had been an advisor to President Trump for many years, someone who was involved with the campaign in so much as him talking directly with Donald Trump. And there's big questions from this indictment on what connections, which high-ranking officials did he speak with? He used to be a partner with Paul Manafort. Could have been him. Is it President Trump? That's what a lot of people are wondering. And how much did the president know? When did he know it, in fact, is one of the questions that Jerry Nadler, one of the chairmen of the new committees in the House, a Democrat, was asking as well.
This is also a question that CNN host John Berman was asking the White House press secretary Sarah Sanders today about whether the president directed someone to stay in touch with Stone about those leaks. Let's listen.
Did the president know or not? Was it the president who made that direction or not?
Once again, I haven't read this document. Okay. I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to be able to get into the weeds on those specifics. Okay. What I can tell you are the charges brought against Mr. Stone have nothing to do with the president, have nothing to do with the White House.
Enrique, when you look at this indictment, is that right? This had nothing to do with the president.
It's hard to believe because the names of people close to the president keep adding up. The first circle around the president keeps being involved in this Russian interference or at least Russian communication with high-ranking officials in the campaign, with people close to the Trump world, the companies Donald Trump had before going into the White House, still has interests in. So it's hard to think the president didn't know anything about this as the names of that first circle keep adding up.
Roger Stone is now the sixth Trump advisor or campaign official to be charged in the Mueller investigation. Also this week, Senate investigators subpoenaed former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen to testify next month. We should say Paul Manafort appeared in court today. All of this is happening as the shutdown continues. And I wonder if there is any effect of the shutdown on the Mueller investigation. Domenico?
The Mueller investigation has been proceeding per usual, as far as we know. Certainly, if the shutdown were to go on much longer, it would obviously hamper everything that the Justice Department does unless funds were somehow moved around. You know, this is the longest shutdown now in U.S. history. If it were to go on for very long, then there would be potential consequences. But at this point, it seems that the Mueller investigation is going at pace.
Domenico, I just want to ask you one more question about this investigation before we move on to the shutdown. Of course, now we're starting to see big ripple effects there. But in terms of the Roger Stone investigation, another one of these big questions is whether or not he or anyone in the Trump campaign knew about what the Russians were doing with this hack beforehand. How big is that question, and do we know anything more about it?
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot more about it. It's murky at this point whether or not the Trump campaign or people surrounded with them knew exactly what was going to be released. If they knew, a bigger question is whether or not they knew WikiLeaks was functioning as Russian intelligence, you know, or as a front for Russian intelligence, as the U.S. Intelligence officials believe. So, you know, that's really kind of a bigger thing, especially when you consider in the context of Donald Trump Jr. and other senior officials having that meeting at Trump Tower in 2016 about wanting to get dirt from Russia about Hillary Clinton. And also, you know, in the context of Jared Kushner and the NBC report out today and yesterday about his top secret clearance having been initially rejected because of potential foreign influence and yet was overruled by a supervisor.
Yeah.
Enrique, I'm curious, getting back to what's happening in the skies today. As we said at the top, some air traffic controllers are not getting paid. Some of them are not coming to work. TSA workers are not getting paid, and some of them are not coming to work as well. And that's causing some chaos right now at certain airports, especially along the eastern seaboard. What kind of a bearing does this kind of action, this kind of consequence of the shutdown have on politicians in Washington and how urgently they feel about this?
I think it really brings home the magnitude of what the shutdown is causing across the country. You know, if people didn't have any compassion or empathy towards what was going on in the lives of hundreds of thousands of federal workers, information like the one we're learning about today and the safety of our airspace and the safety of I guess, millions of passengers in the U.S. could really bring home the magnitude of what's happening. And I would add, this is the real failure of what's going on in Washington, of the polarization in our politics, the fact that the government can't even operate because of a political issue, because of the impasse between the Democrats and the White House and Republicans. So at the end of the day, I think, as you know, everyday people around the country just want things to work, and they just want the government to operate properly, regardless of politics.
I think that's a good point. I was just at the border earlier this week. I was talking to people literally in front of the border fence, talking to them about, you know, how they felt about this shutdown and why the politicians couldn't figure out how to get it solved in Washington. There is a real sense of confusion amongst the people I spoke with about why they can't do it. Domenico, where are we on the negotiations? I mean, after the Senate failed yesterday to pass those two bills, are we any closer or even further away from a solution?
It's not clear, you know, but it's Friday. So you never know what could happen in Washington on a Friday. And, you know, you laugh, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we heard from the president potentially this afternoon, especially with these flights. You know, he's looking on cable television and seeing a major corridor in the United States close to where he is from and known. I mean, when LaGuardia, Newark, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. are all being affected by you know, potentially the shutdown and the ripples of that. That's not something that this president is – that's going to be lost on this president, being a New Yorker and understanding exactly what that means and where the blame is being placed right now, which mostly is being put on him.
So this potentially could – what's happening today speak louder to politicians, the president, and Congress than any kind of poll could, because apparently they've been reading the polls and not really felt that sense of urgency, but maybe things will change at this point. I wonder what you both make of this fiery speech that Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett gave on the Senate floor yesterday, accusing Texas Republican Ted Cruz of, quote, crocodile tears when he was talking about the current shutdown.
When the senator from Texas shut this government down in 2013, my state was flooded. It was underwater. People were killed. People's houses were destroyed. Their small businesses were ruined forever. And because of the senator from Texas, this government was shut down for politics.
Enrique, I wonder what you make of that. And perhaps it's no surprise that Bennett said this morning he's considering a 2020 presidential run.
Well, I think he channels the frustration of a vast majority of Americans in that speech, in that reaction. Why are, you know, politics getting in the way of things working the way they should? That's, you know, it's not that hard. It's not that complicated to really, you know, understand what people around the U.S. think of this shutdown. You have to know that they don't care about politics at the end of the day if they're getting in the way of their everyday lives, like going to work, getting paid, putting food on the table. Those are the priorities, and they want politicians to at least agree on the conditions that can allow that to go on. So again, it channels the frustration of most Americans with this shutdown perfectly.
Domenico, to be fair to Ted Cruz, he said afterwards that he's never been that angry on the floor of the Senate, and he hopes that he never will be. Your thoughts, finally, Rep. Domenico, you there? Looks like we might have lost Domenico Montanaro, who we'll say goodbye to him now. He's the NPR's lead politics editor. We've also been speaking to Enrique Acevedo, Univision News anchor. Enrique, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Peter. We didn't even get to Venezuela, which was also a good, interesting issue to talk about today.
It definitely was. We'll get there elsewhere in the show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.